This session is part of the Indie Author Fringe Conference, a three times a year author conference fringe to the major publishing fairs London Book Fair, Book Expo America, and Frankfurt Book Fair. The Indie Author Fringe is run under the stewardship of the Alliance of Independent Authors, is organised by writers for writers, and is free to attend. Let's see who's sharing self-publishing insights in this session.
Hi, I'm David Penny, and welcome to the Indie Author Fringe 2016. I'm here today and on screen, and the only person on screen, because for some reason my video isn't working, is Mark Coker, CEO of Smashwords, who's going to talk to us today about 10 trends in indie publishing and publishing world today. So I'll hand over to you, Mark, if you tell us a little bit about yourself, what got you into doing what you're doing now, and then we'll get into these 10 trends, which I'm fascinated to hear about as well.
Well, great. Thanks, David. It's great to be here. I fell into all of this by accident. About 10, 12 years ago, my wife and I wrote a novel together. My wife is a former reporter for a soap opera magazine here in the States. And we decided to write a novel about the dark underbelly of the daytime television soap opera industry. And we were lucky enough, once we finished the book and had it fully edited, we were lucky enough to get represented by one of the top literary agencies in New York, Distel & Goderich. And for 2 years, they tried to sell our book, and for 2 years, they couldn't sell it. The publishers were reluctant to acquire the book because previous soap opera-themed novels hadn't performed well in the marketplace. So as you might imagine, it was a really disappointing experience. You know, we'd poured everything into this book, and you know, our dream was to see our book in bookstores. But, you know, I came to a really big epiphany as a result of this experience. And my epiphany was that publishers are unable to take a risk on every author. It just simply doesn't work for their business model. They are really forced by their business model to acquire books that they think have the greatest commercial potential because they're in the business of selling books. And they can really only guess at what readers want to read. And most of the time they guess wrong. You know, the dirty little secret is that they're, you know, ultimately throwing spaghetti against the wall. You know, even though the folks in publishing are extremely talented and well-intentioned, it's really difficult to identify what readers really want to read. And so, you know, it gave me this crazy idea. I thought, what if it would be possible for someone somewhere to say yes to every single writer in the world? And then I thought, well, what if it would be possible for me to say yes to every author? What if I could somehow provide writers around the world the ability to publish at no cost, the ability to publish an ebook, and let readers decide what books are worth reading? And so that was really the genesis for Smashwords. We launched Smashwords in 2008. For those listeners who aren't familiar with Smashwords, we are an ebook publishing platform. We make it fast, free, and easy to publish and distribute a book. You simply upload your book to Smashwords, either as a Word document or as an EPUB file. We distribute that book to most of the major retailers, so iBooks, Barnes & Noble, Kobo. We distribute to public libraries through Overdrive and Gardeners in the UK, and you know, other partners coming online. So this is what we've been doing since 2008, and it's been quite an exciting, wild ride. Today, we are publishing over 115,000 authors and small independent presses, and publishing over 400,000 books. We just passed the 400,000 milestone a couple weeks ago. So it's been, you know, an amazing experience. It's been really fun to be here at the forefront of the indie author revolution, and I'm really glad to be part of this event today with Ali. I've got a lot of respect for this organization. I think you guys do a lot of great stuff, and I love to share what I know and what I think about what the future looks like and how indie authors can maximize their potential. So today my presentation is, 10 trends that will transform the future of publishing. So if you're ready, I can just jump into it.
I should think so. Yeah, that sounds good to me. I'm fascinated to hear exactly what you, because you're somebody who is really on trend with exactly what's going on in the publishing industry, particularly the indie publishing industry. So the way you see things going is important to the rest of us. That's great. Thank you, Mark. So yeah, just jump straight in.
Yeah, great. And what I didn't mention about my background is that prior to starting Smashwords, I had a career for about 20 years working with technology companies in Silicon Valley, doing strategic communications, marketing, public relations. And, so I was involved in the very early days of the tech boom. And one of the things that I learned is that some trends, and anytime technology touches something, some of the outcomes are extremely predictable. And it's been really kind of amazing to see the parallels between what's happening in publishing and what happened in Silicon Valley as, technology trends wreaked their havoc. So let's get started. So trend one is the rise of ebooks. We've seen over the last 8-10 years an exponential increase in the market for ebooks. 8 years ago, when we started Smashwords, ebooks accounted for only about, it was less than 1% of the overall book market. And what we've seen today is that's grown very quickly. And today it's probably around 25%, difficult to tell what the exact number is. But one thing that's interesting about this is that ebook sales have really flattened out over the last 2.5-3 years. They've kind of plateaued. I think we've reached an equilibrium. A temporary equilibrium between the ebook format and the print format. And I think, long term, that's healthy. I think, I love print. I love ebooks. I think both formats are complementary to each other. There are different ways to consume books. But one of the interesting things about the market share number, most of the time when people talk about market share, we're talking about the percentage of dollars spent on books. But when we look at the unit market share, the number of books being read, the number of words being consumed on screens, I think the market share is actually much higher for digital. In fact, I think today it's likely that close to 50%, if not more, of reading is taking place on screens. And so this has really important implications for indie authors. It means that, digital really needs to be at the forefront of your publishing strategy. And if it is, great. And if it's not, now's the time to think about, bringing your books out digitally as ebooks. When we look at, why ebooks have, took off so quickly, why they're hot, I think it really comes down to reading experience. One of the killer features of ebooks, of course, is the ability to click a button and increase the font size. So for a lot of readers, digital reading makes reading more accessible, more pleasurable, more enjoyable. And of course, ebooks cost less than print books, so they're more affordable. And the purchase experience, the buying experience, the discovery experience for ebooks is in many ways superior to print books. You have the ability to browse millions of books today, and with a couple clicks of a button, you can begin reading. So instant delivery of reading pleasure, something that just wasn't possible before. And not to mention the huge selection that readers enjoy today. Those are some of the main factors driving the rise of ebooks. The second big trend that I see is the democratization of publishing. Back in the dark ages of publishing, I'm talking about 10 years ago, traditional publishers controlled the means of book production, the means of book distribution. So they controlled the printing press, they controlled the access to retail stores. If you couldn't get your book into retail stores, you weren't going to reach readers. And since publishers had such a stranglehold on the publishing business 10 years ago and prior, when it was a print-centric business, when they rejected authors, when they said no to authors, when they refused to buy your book because they didn't see commercial potential. For many authors, it meant that they were relegating you to failure because you really had no other option. You know, self-publishing has been around for decades, if not centuries. But and although, you know, 10 years ago, you could print your own books, it was very difficult to sell them if you didn't have bookstore distribution. Distribution is really key here. But with the rise of ebooks, everything changed. With the rise of ebooks, suddenly the major retailers were able to stock these digital books online at essentially no cost. So their virtual shelf space became unlimited. So for the first time ever, they could stock every single digital book that was available to them. And so, you know, starting 10 years ago, suddenly hundreds of thousands of books were available. And today, you know, we're looking at millions of books that are available. It meant that retailers could take every single book, every single self-published book. They opened their stores to self-published authors. And Smashwords, you know, definitely played a role in this. We were the first to open up Barnes & Noble, for example, to self-published books, or Sony when Sony was in business. And we've, you know, struck many similar relationships, making it possible for indie authors around the world to get distribution into the major bookstores. So this, you know, a lot of people don't talk about this, but this was really transformative. For the first time, self-published authors, back before they were called indie authors, had the ability to have their books listed side by side with the books from traditional publishers. So this meant that publishers started losing their monopoly, their ability, their stranglehold on the market. And writers started realizing that that they didn't need a publisher to reach readers anymore, that suddenly it was possible to reach readers on their own terms. The third big trend that I see is that ebooks are going global. You know, for many years, for English language writers, often, you know, we would publish a book and think, okay, well, we want to make this book available in the largest English language markets. So the United States, UK, and then maybe some of the smaller English language markets. But today, indie authors have the ability to publish a book directly to readers around the world. So to readers in, you know, 190, 200 different countries. And that's really exciting. Every single day today, Smashwords authors are selling English language books into Japan, into Sweden, into Spain, Italy, the world. It's very exciting, this global market opportunity. And all you need to do as an indie author to reach this market is make sure your books are you know, distributed everywhere. Trend four is the rise of indie authorship. This is a global cultural movement, and you know, a couple years ago, I attempted to explain the movement, to capture the ethos behind it. I authored at the Smashwords blog something called the Indie Author Manifesto. If people are curious to see that, just Google it, Indie Author Manifesto, and you'll see it. You know, I talked about what's driving indie authors to take control of their careers. And we'll talk about some of those things here in the course of these other trends. You know, in my view, from this day forward, all authors are indie authors. All authors now have the ability, the power to decide their path, their publishing path. They can choose self-publishing, they can choose to pursue traditional publishing, or they can choose to pursue both as a hybrid author. And all these paths are wonderful. I'm supportive of all of these paths. What it means today is that a writer can start writing a book and with 100% assurance, they'll find they will get that book published one way or another. When you talk with indie authors about what really drives them to self-publish and what they enjoy about self-publishing, you know, there's several advantages that they'll often cite. You know, they'll cite that they don't have to deal with gatekeepers, that they can enjoy faster time to market. If your manuscript is finished today, you can publish today. Really, literally within minutes, you can be reaching a worldwide audience. But what I hear more than anything else from indie authors is the total creative control that comes with self-publishing. And there's a joy in publishing that can't be explained by the traditional, industry metrics of, you know, how many books you sold. And I think that that's something that the traditional industry fails to understand, but indie authors understand it in their hearts, that there is a joy in self-publishing that can't be explained by these other metrics. As a self-publisher, the author is the publisher, and they've got some significant benefits over traditional publishers and traditionally published authors. As a publisher, you enjoy lower expenses. You're not working out of a sky-rise office tower. You've got lower costs. You can sell your books for lower prices. You've got faster, better access to a global market. You can enjoy higher royalties and significantly higher royalties. Let's talk about some of those numbers. An indie author selling an ebook is going to earn 60 to 80% of the list price as their royalty. This compares to 12 to 17% for a traditionally published ebook author. And if we look deeper at the numbers, what does it mean? Well, one of the sweet spots for self-published authors with ebooks is $3.99. At $3.99, an indie author is going to earn a royalty of about $2.50 for every book they sell. In order for a traditionally published ebook author to earn $2.50 on every book they sell, their book would need to be priced at between $14 and $20. And this helps explain the competitive advantage that indie authors are finding in the marketplace. You have the ability to publish a high-quality product at a dramatically lower price. And anytime you lower the price of your product, it makes it more desirable and more accessible to more readers. This is how indie authors are building their readership so quickly. The fifth trend is that indie authors are hitting all the bestseller lists. This is a pretty big deal. Every week, every day of the week, you can look at any of the major ebook retailers and you will see self-published ebooks in the top 10 bestseller list. Almost every single week, indie authors are hitting the New York Times bestseller list. Every single week, indie authors are hitting the USA Today bestseller list. A few years ago, this was practically unheard of. Today, it's becoming more and more common. Within the next few years, we'll probably get to the point where most best-selling ebooks are self-published, simply because of these advantages that indie authors have. So today, what we've seen over the last 8 years now is that indie authors are starting to capture more and more of the ebook market. It's really difficult to identify what that total percentage is, but it's probably somewhere between 15 and 20% of the market, at least on a unit share basis. I don't know if that's a dollar basis yet. But certainly, indie authors are making tremendous inroads, and I think these inroads will continue. The sixth trend that I'd like to share with you is that the previous stigma of self-publishing is disappearing. It's melting away. So eight years ago, when I started Smashwords, self-publishing was viewed as the option of last resort for authors. It was viewed as the option for failed authors. There was a tremendous amount of stigma. Very few people self-published by choice. Most writers really aspired to get a traditional deal. So it was what the failed authors did. At least that's what the stigma or the people who believed in the stigma would have you believe. So I look back, at the very start of Smashwords 8 years ago, and I think about those very first authors who joined Smashwords and published their books with us. And I think, these people are my heroes. They were brave to face that stigma, to believe in themselves, because a small percentage of them went on to become international bestsellers. Some of these authors that joined us in the very early days were authors like Amanda Hawking. Mm-hmm. Amanda Hawking was the first author to sell 1 million ebooks. And that, her success inspired other writers to recognize that, yes, they too could publish with pride, professionalism, and success as a self-published author. And ebooks, you know, were the primary mechanism for publishing and reaching these readers. And so with every indie author's success, it just inspired more writers to recognize that this was a viable path. And so what we've seen over the last 8 years is that the percentage of writers aspiring to self-publish is increasing. For many writers today, it's no longer the option of last resort. It's the option of first choice. And so I think this trend will continue. I think we're going to get to a point eventually where more writers aspire to self-publish than to traditionally publish. And so this is really exciting to see how this has progressed. And so, you know, what's driving this? Well, I think first and foremost, you can't argue with success. The success is black and white. Indie authors have really pioneered a lot of the best practices of professional ebook publishing. They're leading the way. And so it's really great to see the professionalism that's coming to self-publishing. Last year, I did an interview at the Smashwords blog with Jamie McGuire. She's an internationally known bestseller. She was one of those early authors who started at Smashwords. She managed to hit the New York Times bestseller list as an indie author with Beautiful Disaster, a novel that a lot of people have read. And then she sold out to the large publishers. She got a 2-book deal, and she had a great time working with the New York publishers. She hit the New York Times bestseller list a couple more times, and she, as she said in the interview, she loved the publisher. She considered them family. Yet when it came time to decide what she was going to do next, she decided to return to her roots and return to self-publishing. Mm-hmm. I just saw her yesterday at the conference, and it was really exciting talking with her. She said her love for self-publishing is stronger today than it's ever been before. And that's just really exciting. You know, authors who have now experimented with both sides, really deciding that self-publishing is where they can get the most joy, where they can receive the most economic advantage. And we're seeing this especially in the genre fiction writers. She's a real inspiration, I think, to a lot of us. Trend 7. There's a glut of high-quality, low-cost books. It's becoming more and more difficult to reach readers. Mm-hmm. And the rise of ebooks has really fueled this. Back in the old days of publishing in the print world, books would go out of print typically after a few months if they weren't selling well. So that artificially constrained the supply of books that readers had to choose from. But today, with ebooks are immortal. They never go out of print. This means that, like a cobweb made of stainless steel, your books are going to line the virtual bookshelves of the major retailers forever. This is why we've got over 4 million books at retailers today, and thousands more books landing on those shelves every day, every week. So this means, I think, that the supply of books is potentially growing faster than the supply of readers. And so anytime supply outstrips demand this way, it means that the suppliers of these products need to compete on price. That's often how you compete. And that creates some interesting implications for authors. You know, this glut of high quality books, high quality low cost books, it's kind of a double edged sword. You know, it's great that indie authors' books are immortal and are forever discoverable and purchasable, but it's not so great that it's going to become more and more difficult to be found. I'd add that traditionally published authors are probably suffering even more from this than indie authors. Indie authors have always been participating in, you know, dominating the lower price points, you know, from 99 cents to $2.99, $3.99. The traditionally published authors, their publishers are trying to hold prices higher at $9.99 and above. This means that a lot of the traditionally published authors are being priced out of the market. The eighth trend that I'd like to share is that Amazon is exploiting this glut. And they're exploiting it by driving massive devaluation of books with Kindle Unlimited. Because when you've got this overwhelming supply of books and not enough readers to go around, price is really one of the only differentiators. And so, you know, I've certainly, over the last 8 years, I've had a lot of time to observe Amazon's self-publishing strategy, and in many ways admire what they've done. They've made amazing contributions to the world of self-publishing and to indie authors. But what a lot of authors are now seeing is that Amazon is turning the tables here. You know, Amazon's business model is entirely dependent upon offering its customers the lowest possible prices, the greatest possible selection, the greatest convenience. And with books, the only way to get lower prices is for Amazon to pay authors and publishers less. And so what Amazon has done is that they've pursued very successfully, from their point of view, I'm sure, and impressively from my point of view, KDP Select, which requires authors to enroll their books for 3 months exclusively at Amazon. You know, imagine the challenge that Amazon faces. They've got over 4 million books in their store. They don't have enough readers to spread around so that all these books and authors can be satisfied with readership. And what they've basically done is created this exclusive program, KDP Select, where they carve out a subset of that 4 million plus books. And they say, okay, we're going to give the subset, which today amounts to about 1.3 million books. We're going to give this subset of books that are exclusive to Amazon preferential discovery, preferential availability, preferential marketing and promotion tools, so that these books become more visible. Now, by doing that, they're making all the other books that aren't exclusive to Amazon less visible. They're essentially burying the other books by denying them those preferential tools. So they've created this caste system where this chosen subset of authors who've agreed to surrender their books to Amazon, to surrender exclusivity, get, you know, significant advantages. And from KDP Select comes virtually all the books that are put into Kindle Unlimited. With Kindle Unlimited, Amazon makes it possible for approximately $9.95 a month for readers to read all the books they want to read. Now, the brilliance of this strategy from Amazon's perspective is that with the books that are in Kindle Unlimited, Amazon does not need to pay conventional royalty rates for those books. They pay by the page, currently about, less than one half penny per page. Amazon determines what they're going to compensate, what the per page compensation rate is after, the month after the book was consumed. It means Amazon, you know, for the business people out there who understand accounting, Amazon controls their cost of goods sold. They're able to basically buy the book from you and sell it to a reader at a lower cost than any other retailer is able to acquire that book. So they have total control over the cost of goods sold, total control over what the producer is paid for that book, and that has some pretty interesting implications. It means that no other retailer has the ability to acquire these same books at such a low price. It means every other retailer is going to be stuck with effectively what amounts to higher prices. So Amazon is leveraging their dominant market position to coerce and bully authors to go exclusive with them. It's really a gun to the head type of scenario. Even though enrollment in KDP Select is optional, it's a gun to the head. Amazon's putting their gun to their head, to your head, and saying, look, if you go exclusive, we're going to give you preferential discovery, preferential sales advantage. You're going to reach more readers at the world's largest retailer, a retailer that controls probably 70% or more of the ebook market. Or, as an indie author, you can decide to distribute everywhere, not go exclusive, and we're going to bury your books. Your books will be less discoverable, less desirable to our customers. It puts indie authors in a really difficult position. Mm-hmm. And I don't envy the decision that any indie author has to make. It's really difficult, especially indie authors that are relying on their self-publishing earnings to put food on their family's table. It's really difficult to weigh the principle of the matter against the reality of, you know, will my kids eat food tomorrow? Now, the irony of all of this is that KDP Select is almost entirely powered by indie authors. So indies facing this gun to their heads are surrendering their independence to a single retailer. And, you know, a big question that arises from this is, well, will indies ever stand up and say no to exclusivity? You know, there's a growing outcry against exclusivity, yet indies still feel trapped. I talk with indies all the time. I meet indies all the time at conferences and everywhere, who tell me, you know, they hate exclusivity. They don't want to go exclusive, but they feel like they have no other choice. They've got a mortgage to pay. They have children to feed. So this brings me to trend 9. Trend 9 is that Kindle Unlimited is undermining the market for single copy sales. So this is where most indie authors make their money, is in single copy sales. When you go to Amazon, when you're shopping at Amazon and you look at the product page for a book, if that book is enrolled in KDP Select, Amazon's merchandising on that page actively encourages the reader to read this book for free. In two spots on the product page, the reader is first presented with the option to read this book for free. In effect, they're making even 99-cent ebooks look too expensive, because who doesn't want to read for free? Who doesn't want a deal? And this is one of the many ways that they're providing merchandising and discovery advantage to KDP Select authors. Amazon is training the world's largest collection of readers to expect to read books for free as part of their subscription. This doesn't lead to a good place. So this leads me to trend 10, the final trend. And that's that indie authors will write the next chapter in this industry's evolution. One thing that we've seen, every indie author has seen this over the last 8-10 years. The power center in publishing is shifting. It's shifting from publishers to writers. So as an indie author, you decide where, when, and how you're going to publish. And it's the collective decisions of writers that will determine the course of the industry and will really shape the industry for the next generation. We're really at a pivotal time today with everything that's going on. So as an indie author, you've got the tools and the knowledge to publish with pride and professionalism. And you have the freedom to publish, to self-publish as an indie author, or to just traditionally publish. It's your choice. And that, you know, this decision to self-publish or traditionally publish, you know, there are a lot of people out there that are trying to turn that decision into a this versus that, turning it into a religious war. It shouldn't be a religious war. Both options are wonderful. It's up to the author to decide what option works for them. And both of these options together, I think, create a more vibrant ecosystem, a more vibrant publishing ecosystem for the future. So I'm supportive of all of these different options. So indie authors will decide through their collective action in the months and years ahead, you know, whether or not we're going to lose the option of traditional publishing. Indies are going to decide this. Indies will decide if Amazon will be allowed to strip them of their independence. Indies will decide if they willingly want to be tenant farmers tilling the soil of a single retailer. Indies will decide if Amazon's competitors succeed or fail, because indies control the supply of books. As much as Amazon is trying to control the supply of books, at the end of the day, indies control the supply if they decide to wield that power. So when we look at all of these 10 trends, I know a lot of people are concerned about Amazon, but when I step back and I look at the big picture, I still believe that there's never been a better time to be an indie author. There's never been a better time to publish a book. The opportunity to reach a global audience around the world is just huge. It's never been more exciting. And so, you know, I think the keys to success for every indie author is to think long term. Imagine yourself 20 years from now. Imagine that future that you want, and then make the decisions today that enable that future to come to fruition. As an indie author, you need to fight for the right to be the captain of your own destiny. you have power. The collective action of all indies will determine the course of everything. Do your best to support a thriving and dynamic ecosystem of multiple competing retailers. Support all of the retailers. Distribute your books to all of the retailers. Promote all of the retailers to your readers. The more people, the more booksellers there are out there who wake up every single day spending their time and their dream time thinking, how can they connect your books with more readers? The more booksellers out there, the better it is for you. Honor your readers. You need to give them high quality, you know, professional quality books that take them to emotionally satisfying extremes. So give them great books. Give them great books at great prices. And you'll be successful. So that's it. Thank you, everyone, for listening to my views on these 10 top trends. And, you know, David, if you've got any questions, happy to answer them.
I think I have about a million questions, Mark.
Okay.
I'll restrict myself to, I think, one comment and one question. One of the comments is, I'm interested when you're saying that the balance between trad and indie is changing, because I attend a lot of writers' conferences, and generally the majority of writers there are traditionally published.
Right.
Over the last couple of years, lots of them come up to you, and they're very, very curious about the indie process. I think they're seeing that we're making a significantly higher percentage on the books that we sell, and they're kind of jealous in a way of of our independence and our freedom, and in some cases the earning power that some indies have got. So it's I think that just reinforces some of the points you've made here today.
Certainly, I'm seeing the same thing. I've even heard the same thing at this conference yesterday. It's, you know, authors talk with one another, and envy runs strong. If you've got a friend who's achieving success, then you want to achieve that success too. And one of the great things about the indie author movement is that indies are so open and sharing. You know, so many indies, you know, when they discover something that works, they share it with all of their writer friends. And that's one of the things I really love about this industry, is that indie authors are so supportive of one another. And, you know, most indie authors really treat this, you know, their attitude is a rising tide lifts all boats. It's really through this active sharing and collaboration among indie authors that indie authors are able to advance best practices so successfully. And I think the call of indie publishing is growing stronger and stronger for the authors who haven't yet made the leap.
Now, and the question I have is, what's your opinion on the trend that we've seen over the last 6 or 9 months of trad publishers? Well, my opinion is pricing themselves out of the market. Almost, it seems almost deliberate.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain writers that I love, but I'm not going to pay $15 for their books.
I think it's really unfortunate. For years, I've been speaking out against the high prices of the traditional publishers. I've spoken out against it for a reason that a lot of people don't recognize. You know, as the world's largest distributor of self-published ebooks, it would be beneficial to my company, at least in the short term, if every publisher suddenly went out of business. But that's not the future that I want. I want publishers to be successful, and I think key to that success is they need to make their product more affordable to readers. I believe in moderation. I think, you know, all these prices, $9.99 and above, I think those prices are really too steep for today's market.
Yeah.
But I believe the publishers should have the right to make their own decisions, and, you know, Darwinian forces will decide whether or not their product is worth that. Mm-hmm. And although I'm a big supporter in lower prices, I think we need to be careful not to go too far to the extreme.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing that now with Kindle Unlimited. Mm-hmm. And Kindle Unlimited, you know, although I talked about the impact it's having on indie authors, I think the main strategy behind Kindle Unlimited is that Amazon wants to hobble the traditional publishers, wants to destroy the traditional publishers, because, even in Amazon's financial filings, they identify the traditional publishers as their competitors. Amazon doesn't like the traditional publishers because the traditional publishers wield collective bargaining power over Amazon. Those publishers have the ability to say, look, if you don't give us the deal we want, then you're not going to get Stephen King or the rest of our list. Amazon doesn't like that, because if Amazon can't control their cost of goods sold, they can't lower the price to their customers. And so there's this back and forth tug. And if Amazon can destroy the large publishers, if Amazon can force all of those publishers' writers to migrate into Amazon exclusively, Amazon can get all of the benefits of a publisher without having to pay for that. Mm-hmm. And it's a game of divide and conquer, because once authors are separated from their publishers, they lose the collective bargaining power. It's really easy now, you know, we see this already. There are a lot of high-profile authors out there, New York Times bestsellers, who are adamantly opposed to exclusivity. And Amazon's attitude is, well, that's okay. You're just one author. Take it or leave it. There's someone else standing in line behind you that is willing to accept a lower rate for their book. And so that's kind of, this is how it works for Amazon to hobble and disable and harm the large publishers so that they don't have the ability to represent authors on a collective basis.
Yeah, interesting, interesting comment there, Mark. It's and lots and lots of food for thought in the presentation you've given us today, for which I thank you, for which Ally thanks you.
And well, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure, as
right.
always.
Thank you, David.
Thank you very much, Mark.
You've been listening to another great session brought to you by the Indie Author Fringe and the Alliance of Independent Authors, Ally. You can find out more about both by visiting Ally's Self-Publishing Advice Center, www.selfpublishingadvice.org. Now, go write and publish.